this is the silly season, you know, the four or five games before All-Star break, so we have to be careful with that. I thought we tried to catch ourselves at times, you know. The game is just so disjointed, you know, to me. You know, we didn't play well, a lot of touch calls. It was just one of those games, you know. You know, some timely techs. So I just thought it was one of those games. I'm going to let Chris talk. He looks like he's ready to talk. You go ahead, my friend.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Wild. With me, as always, is the Jaguar.
Mike Jaglin.
And special guest sitting in to Clipcast, you know him, you love him, Ron Wilder.
Hey, guys.
Tough loss tonight, boys. Tough, tough loss.
Talk about a trap game, crap game, huh?
That was a trap game, crap game.
That was play down near competition, a team that lost to the Lakers the night before.
24 hours ago. Mm-hmm. We looked like we lost to the Lakers 24 hours ago. Why were we so lethargic? There was no ball movement. Mr. JJ Red Hot Redick, he only scored 5 points tonight.
Nothing. I mean, there was a point, like, the first half, they had Wiggins going.
Right.
And no Karl Anthony Towns. Zero. Mm. Towns had zero. And we're talking about who's most likely going to be the rookie of the year.
Right.
And the Clips had a 7-0 run right at the end of the second quarter.
Beautiful.
Then the Timberwolves come on their own 7-point run.
Super hot.
And
but the bench came in, vitamin B, and got us back in it.
The bench minus Austin Rivers.
Who got tossed.
Yes.
That was an insane play. Austin Rivers goes up for a layup, thinks he wants an and one, and he probably should have got an and one, and says and one, and gets one T. And then he says something else, who knows what he said.
Walks to another ref and gets a T from the other ref.
I mean, does this add to that, like, you know, that stigma, that constant complaint that we always hear from the haters, is that we complain too much?
I mean, it does add to it, but you also have to look from the perspective that you have to play through it.
Sure.
And they did not play through it tonight.
Well, we're down, we come back, we catch them, we surpass them. It's 88-87, the Clippers have the lead, good guys. And then the Wolf Pack go on like a 10-0 run, and then we got to play catch-up once again.
Yeah, you know, and the key down the stretch is that the Clips lived through the hack of DJ.
Yeah, it actually helped us.
He had three of four.
Right.
To get the Clips back.
Unlike J.J. Redick, who hit 1 of 4 from three-point land. Very un-J.J. of him.
Oh. And, you know, it was just... It was sad to see just the way they just eroded at the end.
Imploded.
Yeah, eroded, imploded. It was not a good sight to see.
Doc was asked, did you ask the ref? The same ref who, by the way, Chris Paul last season was fined $25,000 for saying, maybe this isn't for her. He got fined $25,000. That same ref, Doc said it was an overt clap that caused the T. An overt clap.
It was.
Ron, can you show me an overt clap, please? All right, tee him up, Jag. Get rid of him. It's pretty overt. Get him out. All right, Chris Paul, after the game, would not make the same folly that cost him $25,000 last season. I love what he says here. I don't know if we got a clean audio clip of it, but he says basically, they already got my money last year. I got kids in private school. I didn't say nothing. And it was like, they were depressed. They wanted this W. You got to beat the Wolves. And we've won 16 out of 20. We just had won 4 in a row, right, Jack? 4 in a row? Tonight would have been 5 in a row?
Yeah, that would have been 4 in a row. That was a streak.
Timberwolves lost 5 in a row, too, so this was their first win off a 5-game losing streak. What this game came down to me was defense. It was defense for both teams. You know, the defensive philosophy for the Clippers was obviously, look, we are not going to let Karl Anthony Towns, who's been a man-child, beat us in this game. And they double-teamed him. They shut him down. He cannot get good looks to the hoop. Every time the ball came into him, they moved a double team over to him. But it left Andrew Wiggins wide open. And Andrew Wiggins, what do you have, 22 points in the first half? He went off.
Yeah.
He went off. And if you saw the philosophy in the second half for the Clippers, they started double-teaming Wiggins.
Which left Towns open. Right.
And this is, you know, the Timberwolves are a young team, but they are a good team. They're a good young team. And their defense, their perimeter defense, shutting out J.J. Redick, you know, trying to limit Chris Paul as best they could, but I mean their defense to shut out the wings the best they could was the difference in the game for me.
Yeah, JJ Redick usually doesn't have, you know, these young legs on him. He can usually outrun his defender, and tonight he couldn't.
No, it felt like the entire offense was just stagnant. You know, besides JJ running around, the ball wasn't moving like it was against the Bulls.
No.
You want to know another thing about this game. This, heading into it, 14 straight against the T-Wolves. 14 straight wins the Clippers have had.
So they really needed this win tonight, the Wolves.
Yeah.
They were desperate. They got beat by the Lakers last night. The L word gave them an L last night, and they just couldn't lose 15 straight versus the heroes, the Clippers. Ah, it's too bad.
Now, one of the things I want to bring up, the Clippers had a chance to take the lead late in that game.
Yeah.
Wes Johnson misses the three.
He did.
Did he force that?
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy is it came off a timeout.
I know.
It was almost like, you know Doc didn't drum up a play for Wesley Johnson to shoot a three when you have Crawford, Redick, Chris Paul, and Deej in there for a possible dunk. And Wesley Johnson was the fifth man there, and he's the one who ended up with the shot, and he hadn't hit a three in a long time at that point.
No. Well, the timeout before where they drew up a two-man game between Chris and DeAndre, and
DeAndre
had a perfect
dunk.
DeAndre, yeah.
And I thought that's what they're going to come out in this timeout. That's how you attack the Wolves, is that two-man game, and hey, to give the Wolves credit, they shut it down and they moved the ball to the open guy. Wes was open at the top of the key. He just missed it.
Well, that's what Doc said, was like, you actually have to give the Wolves credit for this W tonight. Let's talk about, if we can go back in time, please, to happier times on Sunday afternoon when the Clips on the ABC Showcase annihilate the Bulls by 27, Jack.
One of the best wins of the year.
Absolutely. I mean, that's versus an over 500 team, one of the elite of the East.
I mean, they're really slumping, but they are slumping. They're really slumping.
So are the Wolves.
So are the Wolves. That was a really good win. And that was, you know, it was a 180 compared to what we saw against the Wolves. It really was.
Well, the last two wins before last night's L, right? The last two wins, the bench was phenomenal. And last night, the bench gets us back into it. If I'm Doc, which I'm not, and I wouldn't be nearly as good, but say Coach Jaglen, I would have let the bench kind of stretch that out a little.
I would have played Lance a little more, too. I mean, Lance brings this energy
that this
team desperately needs, especially on a night that they look so
lethargic.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I thought I learned about the Clippers during this entire, you know, winning streak was they were dictating the pace.
Right.
They were the ones calling the shots.
When was the last time we've seen the Clippers play this poorly?
You also have to look at Austin Rivers. I mean, Austin Rivers lately has been that spark off the bench. He kind of is leading the second unit.
And his defense is fantastic. He's got young legs. He would have matched up wonderfully against the Timberwolves.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. You got to win this type of game.
He got tossed early. It's not like he got tossed late. He got tossed early. We were without him for the entire game, practically.
What's the Eric Patton stat of the eight losses?
Tell Ronimal this Eric Patton tweet of the night. Oh, just depressing tweet of the night. He had this stat, Ron. You got to hear this stat.
Let me get this off. But again, that's a game that you don't lose at home.
No.
I mean, I'm not saying it could happen, but the Memphis Grizzlies aren't far behind for that fifth seed, for that fourth seed.
No, now they're only like three games behind us.
Yep.
All right, so what does Patton say?
Okay, the Clippers have lost 8 home games. The same number as Spurs, Thunder, and the Cavs combined.
And the Warriors. Right?
Yes. All freaking four of them.
Spurs, Warriors, Cavs. What was the fourth team? Thunder.
Thunder.
Spurs, Warriors, Cavs, Thunder have lost less than 8 home games combined.
Yep.
And we've lost 8 home games. And P.S., how do we rate against those teams?
Well, the Spurs,
winless.
Cavs,
winless.
Warriors, and Thunder also didn't lose their best player.
Now, speaking of losing our best player, Ron, you've got a little insight on when Blake will return. And what have you heard about the possible suspensions? What do you know, Ron?
Well, I mean, they say 4 to 6, but I don't know if you know what that type of injury is. It's called a boxer's punch injury. So what he did is he broke the outside knuckles on his punching hand, essentially.
His shooting hand.
And unfortunately, yes, his shooting hand. And that injury most likely is going to be more than 4 to 6. It's going to probably be close to 2 months. So we should get him back here for a couple weeks before the end of the regular season to try to kind of gear up and make a playoff push.
But he comes back, and then what happens?
Well, there's a couple precedents that have already been set. And according to my sources inside the Clippers, the NBA is going to try to make another precedent with this. Now you have Jahlil Okafor, who threw a punch in a club drunk but did not connect. He got 2 games. Matt Barnes, you know, we all know the Derek Fisher story, hunted down Derek Fisher, did connect, got two games. So the NBA and the Clippers are kind of going back and forth with,
3 games?
Should this be more than 2 games? Should it be the 2-game standard? What is the new precedent? Because this is going to be a precedent that is set. From what I'm hearing, it could be more than 2 games, possibly 3 games. But
the nothing Clippers crazy.
But the Clippers are pushing back. The Clippers are saying, essentially, look, this isn't, we didn't do anything. Why are the Clippers as a team getting punished? Right. This was an outside disturbance, outside of the confines of the Clippers game, arena, so on and so forth. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the Clippers come up with a very creative way to kind of
penalize Mr. Griffin.
Penalize Griffin without damaging the Clipper team so much.
So, in a nutshell, 3 games suspension. Possibly.
Possibly.
Speculation. Speculation.
Don't speculate.
Speculate. Don't player hate and don't speculate. Okay, so before our next podcast, are we podcasting next week, Jack?
Oh, yeah.
But it's the week after
that we
go to Tahiti.
We don't know. Yeah,
we go to Turks and Caicos.
We don't know. Well, that'd be great.
What do you prefer, Turks or Caicos? I'm a Caicos guy.
I'm a Turks.
Apples and oranges.
Turks with smirks. I don't know what that means.
I can edit it out, Jack. Okay. All right, so next week we'll be back, and we'll have next Thursday morning. We always unleash our Clipcasts to Clipper Nation Thursday mornings. We have 4 road games.
4 road games.
Between now and the next Clipcast.
Go to Orlando on Friday.
Orlando, who just lost last night on a Kevin Durant buzzer beater versus OKC, and we needed Orlando to beat OKC.
And that's like the Eastern Conference version of the Wolves, basically.
Right.
Stay
in Florida.
Stay in Florida. Super Bowl Sunday.
Brutal.
The Heat. Weird game, because the Heat aren't playing well, but they'll probably play well for the next.
What
that
time
game.
Is that game?
It's an 11 a.m. game.
Okay, so I can pregame the Super Bowl. I can watch the
game.
Clippers Heat and not miss any.
No, the Super Bowl.
Cam Newton dabs
3:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a nice little pregame on America's Greatest Sports Day.
It's perfect.
That's great. Is that an ABC game? I'm guessing
ABC Sunday Showcase.
Okay, and then the very next day in Philly.
In Philly, weird.
Wonky.
Yeah.
That's your hometown?
That's my hometown.
Are you Geno's or are you Charlie's or whatever it's called?
I'm Jim's. I'm like Lawler.
Lawler says Jim's cheesesteak?
Yeah, he's a big Jim's guy.
Okay.
Giant. It's better than Geno's and Pat's.
Pats, that's what yeah. I... Okay, Geno's and Pat's are the ones that are famous.
Right next door to each other.
Right, across the street,
Motown,
right?
Philly.
Back
you know,
again.
Yeah, exactly. Da, 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 da.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then, Wednesday, 4 games.
Boston, which is a weird team. Good team.
Doc called it a silly schedule to have 4 games on the road like that before the All-Star break.
It is.
But it's not 4 and 5 nights.
No, but it's still strange. Like, you're going on this little mini Eastern road trip.
Right.
I mean, that's the good and the bad thing about their schedule this year is, like, you didn't get this giant Grammy trip.
Right.
Because the Grammys actually fall over the All-Star break.
Great.
Which are good.
Convenient.
It's funny because everyone trip that they had back east. They
called
like,
it the called Grammy,
trip. Grammy trip, but there weren't any Grammys.
No. And I thought this upcoming trip was the Grammy trip, which it kind of is.
Yeah, it's like a mini Grammy trip.
They got to set the stage there at Staples.
They got to set LL Cool J up for a week.
Sure.
Get him warmed up.
So get him hosed down.
He can just lick his lips the entire time.
That's right, and wear his old Kangol hats.
Yes.
Don't eat Oreos, eat Cool J cookies.
That is phenomenal. I do not know what those are.
Well, it's a reference to a song. I might be misquoting it.
But it's an interesting, you know, little stint before they head into the break.
All right, so but it's convenient for Mr. Chris Paul,
mm-hmm.
Who we all know last night got teed up late. We were gonna lose that game last night.
That was an ugly game.
It was an ugly game.
I mean, you heard Doc say that when it was tip off, that's when they lost the game.
Yeah, Doc was asked, when do you think we lost that game, Ronimal? And Doc said, at tip off. All right, so conveniently for Mr. Chris Paul, he gets to just kind of shoot over from Boston to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we see any other Clippers participate in All-Star Weekend, specifically J.J. Redick, who's pushing his new podcast that you listen to?
It's great. It's phenomenal.
What was great about it, Jack?
I mean, one, he's the host of it, and he has a different guest every week.
So he's like David Letterman.
Exactly.
And does he have a Paul Schaefer? Or...
No, he doesn't have a Paul Schaefer.
But Jared Dudley was his Paul Schaefer.
Yes. I'm interested to see what JJ does going forward. Like, does he have a player every week? Does he bring a celebrity in? You know, I'd like to see, like, JJ's a big foodie. Does he bring in a chef one week?
So what was the show? Because you listened to it. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm going to listen to it.
It's JJ Redick, and then he brings in Jared Dudley.
And it's just two guys talking.
For the most part, it's two guys talking.
Mostly basketball, I'm guessing.
Basketball and life.
Okay.
So, I mean, and again, they talk about Jared being in L.A. and playing for the Clippers. And
any bad blood there?
No, there's no bad blood.
Really? From Dud?
No, that's fine.
No Dud blood?
That's a great quote, too. That's a great thing about Dud.
Whenever we interviewed him, he always... Granted, he sounded like, you know, Kermit the Frog or Jim Henson on Helium.
Oh, yeah.
But he always had sound bites. He was like a... walking, talking soundbite.
No. And the cool thing about this is, you know, JJ's going to do this weekly.
That's great.
And,
Clipper Nation, you've got Clipcast. Now you've got JJ Redick's podcast. And Kevin Arnovitz resuscitates.
I know.
Claire, give me the paddles. Claire, he resuscitates the ESPN podcast? It had been over a year, Jaguar.
I know. Arnovitz was, you know... just living the life.
When are we getting Loaded Clip and Clipstream back?
I don't know.
They should do a crossover return.
And Lobcast.
Loaded Clipstream Lobcast.
Everything.
Bring them all back.
Bring them all back. Just, yeah.
Clipper Nation deserves a Clipper Nation station, if you will, with all of these options. In a perfect world, Clipper Nation.
In a perfect world.
Clips Nation. All right, so Orlando next, then Miami, then Philly.
Then Boston.
Then Beantown.
And then you want to know something crazy, too.
Please tell me something crazy.
We'll talk about this next week. But the day that the Clippers come back on the 18th against the Spurs is the day of the trade deadline. That's the trade deadline, the 18th.
The trade deadline is the day the Clippers return.
From the All-Star break.
From the All-Star break, and that's versus the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
That awful Spurs-Clipper classic.
It's been, what, 4 years straight?
4 years in a row where we dust off the cobwebs versus, like, you know, the stalwarts.
Oh, and they've been, there were a couple brutal ones there.
Memphis is creeping 3 games back.
Is that what it is? Three games back.
Yeah, three
what
games back.
What are they in
back.
The loss column?
20 losses for Memphis, 17 losses for the Clips.
And the Clips, if they would have won, they would have equaled the start from last season.
Right. But, you know, there's still plenty of time to make that up, shake that up.
We've heard this for years. Like, I remember Chris Paul in the beginning of the seasons always used to say, you know, these are the type of games you don't want to lose because they're going to affect you in April.
Right.
And this is one of those games that could affect you in April. I mean, this team, as well as they've been playing, Doc Rivers, you know, coach of January, coach of the month, things have been going great, and the team's spreading the ball. You can't afford, right, Ron, to lose games like this.
Oh, you're exactly right. And, you know, I know the Clippers, the Grizzlies are only 3 games back from the Clippers, but as this season plays out, the West is just going to get tighter and tighter, mm-hmm. and it's going to end up being a game that separates these teams. I guarantee you, like, up and down the board of the Western Conference, all the way to, you know, basically 4 through 7 is going to be one game.
It's crazy.
You can just see it play out like that.
It's crazy how 1 and 2 and 3 are distancing themselves from each other and from the rest of the pack.
Yeah, no one talks about OKC, and OKC has been unbelievable since December outside of San Antonio and Golden State.
You know, and they talk about, like, a lot of times you say, well, two superstars can't play together, but it's a nightly basis where Kevin Durant is scoring 35 to 40 points and Russell Westbrook is scoring 40 points. Like, it's literally, they're getting almost 80% of all of their offensive production, and it's working.
Russell Westbrook last night had some crazy triple-double where he went like 27, 19, and 14.
Insane.
Something crazy. 19 rebounds, 27 points, and 14 assists.
But, you know, getting back to the, you know, the Clippers.
Oh, getting back to the Clippers on Clipcast?
Yeah, on Clipcast. Memphis, you know, you don't want to be a 5-seed playing Memphis, a team that you've battled for years.
I hate Memphis.
You've battled for years, and I don't care, even though they've looked as sluggish as they have early on, they're playing better, and their schedule gets a lot easier compared to the Clippers' march.
The Clippers' march is brutal.
It's awful.
Absolutely brutal.
Ask Lucas Hahn.
Now, after All-Star break, we've got a brutal schedule. San Antonio comes to town. Golden State comes to town. But then it gets a little bit easier on
then
the
home stands. It gets easier, but again, you've got to take advantage of this road trip.
Well, we've been taking advantage of the past 20 games, going 16-4.
Yeah.
And as good as that is, it's funny that it's not good enough to get anywhere near 1, 2, or 3.
And that's the key. I mean, I know Memphis is a tough out in the playoffs, but you'd much rather play Memphis than Oklahoma City, San Antonio, or Golden State in the first round.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but for sure. I told
you. Oh, we do not want to slip to 6.
You don't want to slip to 5 and have to go to Memphis in the first round and then beat them and then go Golden State and then whatever comes out of San Antonio and OKC.
You know what I loved about the postseason last year? Obviously, I didn't like the fact that we had a 3-1 lead and then we blew it. I just like that we didn't have to play Memphis.
I know.
I'm sick of Memphis, Jag, in the postseason.
I know, and it's always ugly.
It's always ugly.
I mean,
you know, in Memphis, they gave out flip-flops because they call us floppers. But the ironic thing is, Ron, in Memphis, they're called shower shoes. They're not called flip-flops.
But, you know, Memphis isn't the grindhouse anymore. It's a completely different team. Their defense is not nearly as good as it used to be. I would be very happy with playing Memphis.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happier with playing Memphis than, like you said, obviously, OKC, San Antonio, or what's their names?
I mean, I'm fine playing Memphis, but you want home court advantage.
Sure.
You don't want to have to go to Memphis. And there is a game at the end of the season, towards the end of the season.
And obviously you want Dallas or Houston as opposed to Memphis. But at the same time, Dallas hates us. Mm-hmm. Houston hates us. Mm-hmm. Memphis hates us. And 8
they
is going to play
us.
Golden State. We all know 8's playing the state.
If it's going to be Sacramento, Utah, you name it, you're out in 4.
And not only that, but you got to remember the California Cup is at stake here, gentlemen. Sacramento might squeak in at 8. Then you got 3 Cali teams in the playoffs, and the California Cup is always at stake.
And I think that would be the first time since 2012, 2013, all 3 of them.
Isn't there 4
Well, there
California
are 4
teams?
But 3 there would be 3
are
in there.
Are you not including the L word?
No, they
as
were.
As a California team?
No, they were in that
but
2012.
You said all California teams,
no, the
Jack.
3 of the 4 teams.
But you
Sorry.
Said all cuz you don't include the L word as a California team.
Didn't
that's
go,
how much you
didn't
hate
they go
the
back
L
to Minnesota?
They did go back to Minnesota, and they brought Star Plaza and the Shaq statue with them.
Yes.
Hey, did you see the Shaq statue? Did you see?
I did.
It looks. Where the heck are they going to put that thing?
I don't know. On top of the Staples Center.
Is that where they're going to put it?
I don't know.
I just can't wait till we get our own stadium and we have our own plaza with our own Ralph Lawler statues. A dozen Lawler statues. That's what I want. Surrounding the stadium.
That would be phenomenal.
Like Walt Disney holding Mickey Mouse's hand.
I bet the first statue is DeAndre Jordan. He's going to go down as the most games ever played as a Clipper.
You're right. He's going to shatter all Clipper records.
Yes. It'll be Chris Paul.
Yeah.
The first statue.
9-time All-Star?
Jordan's going to be Mr. Clipper.
I think it's Big Blake. Why not all 3? Why not the Big 3? Why not the Core 4? Put JJ in there.
Why not Lance?
And like his arm is like a dry erase board. You can add tattoos. You
that
can
would
like,
be fun.
Right? Dry erase board.
Yeah.
A sleeve dry erase board JJ statue at our new stadium.
You just give kids crayons.
Like, I love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Go fly Banksy out and put a tat on him.
I've already got a pitch for the new stadium's name. It's the Ballmer Sports Access Center, or BallSack for short.
I love it.
So we went 16-4 out of our last 20. We lost a heartbreaker last night, a trap game. We were just lethargic.
Got the coach of the month.
Cement shoes. We got the coach of the month. We didn't talk about it, gentlemen. It was our most winningest January ever. We had the highest win percentage in January in franchise history. We all remember the most winningest December, the December to remember, under Vinny Vici. But this was the winningest January, and it was a wonderful January, and it's a little bit sour grapes that last night we lose in February, and it is the longest February. Leap year is upon us.
Well,
29 days.
Didn't the Clippers lose last year when they presented the guys with their All-Star jerseys? Maybe that's a jinx. Maybe we should stop doing
that. Oh, that's right. Mr. Chris Paul got his All-Star jersey, his 9th appearance. Pretty impressive.
From Little Chris.
That's right. Yeah. Little Chris gave it to him?
Yeah. It was phenomenal.
It's a nice little moment there. And then Sunday when we beat the Bulls was Kids Day.
Which is great.
I liked that gimmick.
Yeah.
All day games should be Kids Day.
The Simon Says was fantastic. Best halftime shows of the year.
But speaking of best halftime shows of the year, Friday night,
the Battle of L.A., and Montel Jordan comes in and sings This Is How We Do It and clipperfies the whole song.
Montel did it again?
Yeah, he's a clipper nation, does it like nobody does. This is how we do it. It was so great. He sang about J.J. Redick shooting threes, and he just kept, like, he made that song like 15 minutes. It was beautiful. It's like a 12-minute version of the song. Chris Paul's family was sitting in front of Ron and I, and they got up and started dancing.
Yeah,
that's great.
Like it was dance cam.
They were singing the words.
I just can't be down and frown in this town when we go 16-4 out of 20. I know we should have been 17-3, but 16-4, yes, it's great, but it's funny that it's not great enough to make any ground versus OKC, the Dubs, and the Spurs.
No, it's
and
gonna
four
be,
and they
it's
keep
be that four seed.
They keep separate. They're just as far from them from each other.
I know.
Golden State's got the lead. Four games back is Spurs. Four games back is Thunder. And then we're five or something back. And then Memphis is creeping. Everybody, it's going to be one of those Jaglin log jams.
It is. It is. It's going to be a Jaglin special. It really is.
Four through nine.
We need to get.
Four through ten.
We need to
Who's
get
eight right now?
Who is? Hey, Utah?
I think the Portland Trailblazers.
Trailblazers?
The Blazers, right?
They're
not going to hold it, but like Utah, Sacramento,
April
Portland.
Their schedule is just as bad as the Clippers, if not worse. They won't hold it.
All right, so let's make predictions. From next week, we got four road games. Again, at Orlando, at Miami, at Philly, at Boston. Should I just get my 4-0 out of the way?
Go.
Okay, 4-0. Ron?
2-2.
2-2. Jack?
I'm going to agree with Ron, 2-2.
No, 3-1?
No.
Come on, Jack Stradamus, you're never wrong.
No.
You will be wrong.
I'm not feeling it.
We might all be wrong and
that's what,
go 3-1.
That would be good.
That'd be good. If they went 3-1 on this next road trip, that would be great. Yeah.
So, all right, so 2-2 from you schmucks, both of you. Who do we lose to?
I mean, we have one guaranteed win, the 76ers, in my opinion, and the other three are basically 50-50 coin flips in my book.
Obviously, really Boston's nice. Playing much better.
Mm-hmm. Orlando's playing much better.
But they're still under 500, right?
Yeah, they are. But and then
W, good guys.
The Heat are going to play this weirdly good game.
The Heat, mm-hmm. who we beat in L.A.,
yeah.
without Blake. So
they're at home. They're going to play their old man ball. You know,
it's a Sunday it's game, it's, showcase game.
Go down to the Y and play against all the 40-year-olds, and they always beat you.
They got no Birdman. Birdman's not there. He'll be watching the Super Bowl pregame.
His wings are clipped.
He's going to clip his wings with Los Angeles Clippers. All right, so we didn't ask the players this year. We don't have a Super Bowl special. But let's
they
make...
If they would have won...
I know, if they would have won... It was a very somber locker room. I've seen, like, funerals that were more peppy than that locker room. Let's make some Super Bowl predictions. Big games. I like Cam Newton. I like the Panthers. My in-laws are from Carolina, or the Carolinas. I take the young buck versus the old man.
I'm going to go with a shocker here. I'm going to take... the Broncos, 23-20.
Oh, you're even giving a score.
You know, I think it's going to be the Panthers, too, but I thought it was going to be the Patriots. And look what happened. Denver came out and just shut them out. And that's
right.
The one thing. Denver has a really good defense that the Panthers haven't seen. So it could be something like a grinded out, low-scoring game, something along 17-20. But I still like the Panthers.
If you're betting this game, you always want to look at a lot of money's going Carolina's way. The
sure.
spread is up to 6. It opened at like 3.5. Everyone has this fascination of you know, the last game played, mm-hmm. which, you know, the Panthers destroyed the Cardinals.
Right.
That's what a lot of people are thinking is going to happen, but they don't realize that Denver has a really good defense. And they
sure.
still have a guy named Peyton Manning, even though he's, you know, a shell of what he once was.
But look what happened last time Peyton was there.
And if you look, if you go
Wasn't
back...
Wasn't that two years ago?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. In New York, though, where he can't play in cold climates.
That's true.
And this is going to be in Santa Clara.
Northern California.
It's cold here, though.
Mark Twain said the coldest winter he ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. I'm literate, you guys.
Oh,
I'm literate as hell.
But if you look at the Super Bowls, most hit with... the underdog and the over the last like 5 to 7 years.
This is not GambleCast.
Well, hey.
You can do your own GambleCast. I'm sounding the horn.
But I mean, that has nothing to do with the game. Obviously, that was a timely tech. That's my fault. I apologize to the team. Can't get techs in the fourth quarter. you know, that was a big, big call. You know, he missed one free throw. That would have put us down three instead of down four. So regardless of the situation, you know, I got to do a better job of not putting it in, you know, the hands of them to make a call like that. So that's on me. It was our defense. It was our defense, plain and simple. It wasn't nothing more than that. Not looking forward to All-Star, none of that stuff like that. I think it was just our defense. You know, we didn't communicate. We didn't play with the same edge that we needed to. We scored enough points to win the game. But our defense, well, we got to figure it out. Let it go tonight. Got a long flight to Orlando tomorrow morning. And Orlando going to be waiting on us. I don't know how that game ended with OKC, but I know it was pretty close. But we gotta figure it out, because games like this can't happen. I mean, some of us have been in the league long enough. We talked about it. You know, this was a must-win for us. Like, every night is like that, and this can't happen. So, you know, as a captain, that's on me. Got to find a way to win, because we can't lose games like this. It's about us. You know, we can't worry about what everybody else is doing. You know, we got to worry about us. And we already without 32, you know, without Blake. So games like this, that's winnable games. We gotta win them.
Chris, do you think the history had any part whatsoever in that technical?
I don't know about, no. Mm-mm. They didn't got my money already. I'm cool. The kids in private school.
All right, thanks, guys.
Say nothing, guys. Say nothing.